we were like those three or four ladies starting the 3500s, and we wanted to do the do the 3500s, but we didn't want to do it in, you know, like, wasn't so much that we had to be, they kind of wanted a women's group, but also, you know, one where we could just go on our own at our own pace. And that's how it basically started. And it started out of an Instagram message, a Facebook message. And we were messaging back and forth, setting up the days. And I said, why don't we just start start a group where we could just like set up an event and make it easier to, you know, and that's how it started.
Wow. That's
basically
awesome.
How it started.
And now it's freaking grown exponentially.
Yeah. We only had like three people on a hike the first, you know, when we did Boston Lake that first year. And the most we've ever had was like 30, wow. You know, 30. And I've learned, you know, now I have sweepers. That was a learning experience.
Awesome.
Because we, you know, there's certain places we can't go with 30 people that we have to bring them.
Bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
Whereas Panther Mountain is totally opposite. It's a mountain on top of a crater.
I think the weather challenges on this incident were particularly difficult.
It is really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
All right, Vicky. So, I mean, you are on social media. You've seen probably the kind of reports of snow being seen around the area and more up north towards the Adirondacks, correct?
Yes.
Oh, it's shoulder season. It's getting that season of where we don't know if it's going to be rain, sleet, snow, or sunshine, right?
Right, and a little bit of both. So you got to make sure, like I tell the ladies, the goddesses, that they have to be prepared. They have to have, as of now, they got to put those microspikes in it. In fact, I'm going to make a post for the new ladies because we have a whole bunch of new ladies who joined. I already did a pack of like clothing and stuff for what they need to pack for the, you know, for the winter and the fall because of shoulder season. So now I just have to, you know, let them know the microspikes. And actually I always have a couple of a couple of links to like Amazon for purchases, you know, cause of the good one, you know, some, you know, more, less expensive, some better ones, you know, so the ladies can, you know where to go and know what to purchase. Yeah. Because I didn't know in the beginning either.
Yeah. So Vicky is here from the Tri-State Lady Hiker Goddesses Group. She's a Facebook group that has grown exponentially in the past couple of years, and it brings some great news and info for ladies who are hiking around Tri-State. So that's what she's referring to. So as that's being said, shoulder season is a very complicated season in the Catskills and in the mountains. You really don't know what you're going to expect. It might be rain at the base of the mountain, but up top it might be snow and sleet. So basically what we're saying is like Vicky said, is microspikes is definite. You know, you can get them online, you can get them at your local store like Camp Catskill or anywhere around that has basically hiking stuff, or, you know, layers. You definitely need layers. That's the big important thing right now, is hypothermia is scary. You know, I've seen hypothermia. I don't know, Vicky, have you ever seen hypothermia?
I haven't seen it personally. I've seen it in videos when I did my first aid course, but I never saw it personally, knock on wood.
It's very scary. It's very scary because people basically almost looks like they're on drugs and stuff and they don't know where they are. And it's very, very uncomfortable, but you know, you can prevent that by having layers, having shells, having rain jackets, stuff like that. And it's that time of year where who cares if that 1.5 pounds goes in your pack for microspikes to kind of save your life or save somebody else's life? Yeah. So we're getting into that season. It's starting to progress. As we saw stuff on Whiteface Mountain had snow. Mount Washington had snow. People were reporting snow on some of the high peaks in the Catskills. So
it's, yeah,
it's coming. It's coming. It's crazy. What?
Yeah, even locally here, 36 degrees this morning was a frost warning by my house. And then when me and my girlfriend started our hike this morning, it was 41. So we started in, jackets and, fleece underneath. And then as the day progressed, when we finished, it was 64.
Yeah.
So, you just don't know. And that's not even in the mountains. This was in Alpine, New Jersey.
Oh, wow. But so
it was that chilly. Yes.
Yeah. So you're preparing in the beginning. And then, of course, you got to layer down to the end because it's just absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's that season where you're uncertain of what's going to happen. And if you're prepared, you're prepared and you're going to have a good time. If you're not prepared, you're not going to have a good time. So that's the big thing right now. It's just being prepared and having a good time, even if it's crappy weather. I mean, Vicky, you've been out there in crappy weather. You know that it can still be a good time if you're comfortable and the person you're with is comfortable.
Right. And, and that's what I stress is the safety and everybody being comfortable and knowing what to pack and, whether it's 90 degrees or if it's 30 degrees, if it's a wind chill, if it's rain, you have to be prepared for everything. So.
And this is fantastic that you bring along in this goddesses group to help people start out with their journeys into the mountains or even into just hiking is I always say this. I seriously always say this is education is key. And thank you so much for spreading education around because we need it. We definitely need it as hopefully if it gets around, we can make the mountains better for us and for everybody else.
Right. Because when I started, I was what I called a social hiker.
Yeah,
I went
definitely.
Out times a year. I didn't really have even boots. I had some, they were like Sperry, the rain boots with the, the grippy underneath, because like I said, I'm a fitness instructor. I went out, like I said, a couple times a year. Because I was always, basically teaching classes. So the, those few times I went out, I wasn't really prepared. I never knew about cotton kills. So here I would be like sweating in my, in my cotton and not knowing that that was like the wrong material to wear because, I figured, cotton, a lot of your, not fleece, your flannel is cotton, especially in the winter. I didn't know. And I've learned from other friends who are avid hikers, they've taught me a lot. And going out in, before I started my group, going out in other groups, I learned a lot from them as well.
Yeah. And that's great. That's great. They influence you to do the right thing, to wear the right stuff, and they're helpful. Yeah. They're educational. They can help you out in those certain type of things. And especially in those events where you might get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't want. We definitely don't want, people to be hiking up on, even the easiest like Balsam Lake Mountain and get themselves stuck in sleet and rain. And then hypothermia kicks in. It's not fun. Hypothermia is not a good way to die, by the way, just to let you know. I'm not saying that I've been through it. That sounds like I've been through it.
Right. <No. laughs> But I could just imagine it being slow death.
it
very slow.
Exactly. And it is. It I pretty much think it is because you would think that hypothermia takes time to take over your body as you slowly go down in your temperature, your body goes down in function and stuff like that. So it's very scary and it's very scary to witness, but it's also very awesome to help that person in hypothermia to come out of it and to save their life.
Right.
So once again, prepare yourself for what's coming is anything. So prepare yourself for anything, especially up in the mountains. As we're talking about kind of like the shoulder season and winter, I decided to check out some stats, Vicky, and this is very, very crazy. As I have friends in the Sounds Like a Search and Rescue podcast, they are up in New Hampshire, and I know of about a 46er podcast. I forgot the name of the 46 of 46, something like that. I'm not a big Adirondack person, but I decided to look up stats about winter hiking and compared to summer hiking. So it's very, 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 very crazy numbers. So as this of 2022, over 14,000 people have finished the 46ers, but only 1,000. Yeah, but only 1,000 have done it in the winter. So that's 7% of the 14,000 people that have finished in 2022. So this doesn't count 2023, has done winter hikes in the 46ers. I know that's a big number, and it's definitely more difficult. But in the Catskills, there are 4,174 finishers and 1,578 finishers, which is a 37% tally of winter finishers in the Catskills. So 30 more percent of people have decided to take on the winter challenge compared to the 7% of the Adirondacks. That's crazy numbers, isn't it?
It is. It really, really is. Yeah. I haven't ventured up that way because I try to do my hikes during the day. Yep. So it's harder for me to get up to the Adirondacks. I did one because I visited my son. He lives outside of Schenectady. And we did, like, it wasn't one of the 46ers. It was a 46. Am I right?
Yep. You're right.
The high peaks up there. We did Hadley Fire Tower because we were staying right
in the Hadley.
Yeah. And even that was challenging.
It's definitely a whole different story up there in the Adirondacks, of course. It's a lot. Most of them are much further, more challenging, stuff like that. Understandable. And I'm actually very grateful that only that many people have completed it in the winter, because there might be more. There might be more crazy situations up there for the Rangers to deal with and the rescue volunteers and stuff. So it's definitely an alarming number, but I'm grateful of it. And hopefully people will go to the Catskills and then be like, oh, I can do this. You know, they learn so much in the Catskills that they'll go up and venture to the higher peaks.
That's the whole thing. Because like I said, you know, I don't know everything, but what I do know, I try to share with others and share with the group. And also I share what I know too, as well, when I steward at, I'm a 3,500 trail steward. So I try to help that, you know, and use that as well as a platform to help others as well during the summer. They don't have it during the winter.
Yeah. So,
you know, at least during the spring and the summer. And there's some days that it's really cold and there's some days that it's really hot in the, you know, and you have to be prepared both ways.
Correct. And that's what we want to do. That's why you're a trailhead steward right there.
Yes.
Exactly. Proves why you're a trailhead steward, for information and for education on what might happen with these sticky situations. And if someone's coming out of there, I want to pursue this further. I want to, do my winters. Then you could be there to help them out with what they might need for the winter. And some of them might not even know what the heck micro spikes are.
Yeah.
Which,
because I didn't know what they're.
Exactly. we all did it. You know, we all start off, unless we're basically raised by it, we're all start off from the bottom. And, I will admit this every time, and I love talking about this. I hiked in khakis. And I loved it.
Yeah, I remember you saying that on one of your other podcasts. Yeah.
And it was hilarious when we would go up, we did a hike up Panther Mountain, and on the way down, we're coming down Panther Mountain, and my khakis are frozen solid from the knee to snow.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
it was so stupid, but I'm just like, all right, at least I have wool socks. At least I have layers on, and at least I have good shoes on and micro spikes. We did have micro spikes. So.
Right. Because that was that actually happened with my husband. Because my husband, he's a jeans guy. And we went out and he says, I'm wearing long pants, because it was the summer. And we hiked it actually at Zor Preserve in Connecticut, but along the water. And he got so hot. And he was like, So then after that, it was like in the middle of the summer. So after that, he's like in his, you know, in his jeans, and he's dying. And I'm in like my regular, you know, hiking pants, nothing fancy, but still they're the hiking pants. So they're moisture wicking and everything. And he's like, I can't do this. He goes, tomorrow I'm going to buy hiking pants. I can't do this again. And I said, see, you should have listened to me. But he hasn't learned first.
Don't you usually listen to me? You don't listen to me now? Damn you. And like at the time, you know, the funny time is when I started wearing like hiking pants, and I was just like, I showed my friend, I'm just like, look at your crotch and your ass right now. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, they're full of sweat. Mine isn't.
Yeah.
I'm just like, mine's wicking off. You know, I don't have that crazy amount of moisture in there. And I'm just like, just imagine that in the wintertime when it's freezing cold out. And once again, it's where it starts. It's where hypothermia starts. You know, you get cold, your body gets cold, and then you start going down from your regulated temperature.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Once again, to look at those stats of how many people have finished the 46ers, 7% in the winter of all the finishers, probably the same in the White Mountains. And it's really crazy. I'm glad people take on the lower peaks and they take on the Catskills because they have to. One of the things unique about the 3500 club is that they have those four winter hikes that you need to complete.
Yes.
And that is so unique because it makes you get the appropriate gear and to make you understand what the winter is like. So maybe if you want to venture up to the Adirondacks or to the White Mountains or to the Green Mountains up in New Hampshire, wherever, that you are prepared for that. So that I think that's why I love the club. No other club like that in I would say the United States or the world has that competition, has that way of saying, hey, you got to complete these, be prepared.
Yeah, because it is it's a totally different hike in the winter than it is in any other season. I think so.
What is your thoughts about it? Do you like it in the winter?
I find it, you know, even hiking with everybody, you know, even as a group, I find that I like the winter. If you're dressed appropriately, it's a wonderful season. I prefer that better than the summer.
Yeah.
Because the summer, at least in the winter, you can put on layers to warm your body up. You can take off your sweaty layers, put on more, you know, warmer clothes, have hand and feet warmers. And in the summer, you really can't do that because you're just basically hot.
Yeah,
and,
correct.
And as we can only take off a certain amount of layers of clothing.
Yeah, correct. <Probably. laughs> Well, good. Glad you enjoy it, and hopefully other people will follow.
Also true, especially with bushwhacks in the winter, it's much nicer doing the bushwhacks because you don't have that tree cover.
Yep.
You know, you get those beautiful, beautiful sunny days that you could just see forever, and it's just a clean, crisp air in the winter. You know, in the winter, you just have that, you know, the crisp, clean air, and you get, you know, up above, and it just feels so good, you know. Yeah. And I get the ladies out there. We snowshoe, you know.
Nice.
This past winter wasn't so good. We only had two snowshoes, but previously we've had more snowshoes, you know. And we don't do really hard things. That, you know, I try to get them out to like North South Lake just to get the legs going.
yeah, right. You know,
ladder, and then we usually, because my anniversary hike, because the first hike I ever did as the goddess group, where we weren't called the goddesses yet, we were the Catskill lady hikers in the beginning.
Nice, I like that actually.
Yeah, we were the Catskill lady hikers because there was me and three friends that wanted to work on the Catskill 3500s together.
Nice.
You know, and we wanted to do it at our own pace. We wanted to, you know, kind of, I really didn't know, even know that there was the Catskill, at that point, the Catskill 3500 club and that they had. So, you know, we just, the three of us just started it and doing, you know, like I said, doing those hikes together. And then we formed the group. And then, like I said, we were the Catskill hikers. And then we did Balsam Lake was our first hike.
Nice.
January 9th you know, 2021. That was our first ever hike. And every year I do it in January, you know, February. That's our first hike. So last year we were able to, the last 2 years we were able to do it as a snowshoe.
Nice. And that's always good. And like you said, the winter is definitely fantastic with the crisp, clear air. You get those views that are unobstructed that you can see far into the distance. Right. And you are just like, oh my God, this is, because, you know, in the summer you get all the moisture and the humidity. And now we got the freaking smoke, which is absolutely insane. But, you know, like you said, that crisp, clean air really kills everything, and it's fantastic. So everybody go out and hike in the winter, please, but be prepared. Yes. First, be prepared. Definitely.
Yes.
So thank you, Vicky, for the small talk. Do you have anything that like I usually have ranger reports, but we've had nothing going on here. Yeah. Like I got the ranger reports today and there's nothing going on. I mean, that's good. Really good. Like, I mean, I guess everybody's dying down from being in the clove.
I read today's report. There was nothing local in Correct. The DC. So I guess that's a good thing.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Some weeks we have those horrible weeks where we have everything going on. So it's actually better.
Yeah.
That there's nothing.
I feel good about that. So once again, thank you to the Rangers. I had recently Ranger Slade and Ranger Martin on here. So you guys have been rocking it. So thank you guys. I think hopefully they listen to the podcast. I know Martin does. Martin's pretty cool. So is Slade. Right. Slade's awesome. Ranger Slade. You've probably met him at Slide Mountain Trailhead, correct?
What's his first name? Because I don't know last names. Ooh. Do you know his first name? Oh.
Man, I feel like an idiot. Sorry, Slade. I just know him as Ranger Slade.
Roger, Rob.
Well, Ranger Slade is kind of like he kind of looks like me, but without a beard. And then he's kind of bald, but he's one of the few Rangers that goes up there.
Okay.
But cool dude. So yeah. Thank you for what you did basically and what you've done this year. Hopefully you guys keep kicking ass. So Vicky, thank you for the small talk. Once again, Kat.
Yes.
The Mountain Clubs are the small talk that we have here is fun. I like doing that. So yes. Welcome everybody to episode 97 of Inside the Line, the Catskill Mountains podcast. Tonight I have Vicky Ferreira here talking to me about the New York Tri-State Lady Hiker Goddesses group that is on Facebook, influential to women to hiking, get them into hiking from the New York, lower New York area and anywhere around New York. And she's also here to talk about her way that hiking has helped her come out of depression, deep thoughts and stuff like that. Correct?
Yes.
Good. Good. And thank you for being on the show, Vicky. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're a very positive person. I love it. You're very upbeat and stuff like that. I love it.
I try.
Well, you don't need to try. You're probably the smiles on your post. Just give a smile to everybody else.
Yes, I try to. You know, I believe that life is too short. There was years that I just didn't smile. So this is great.
And by the way,
I smile now and I can be happy. And I really feel I've found my purpose. It only took me like 57 years to find my purpose.
It's tough.
But it's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
It is. And you found it. You found it. You're there. Yeah. Right? I mean, your post on Facebook, it's always a positive post every day. And I always send them to my wife, by the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Because yes. I know, like, people don't mention it to me, but every once in a while I'll hear it and they'll be like, thank you for your daily posts, because it really does help me so much. And it's just like, oh, that makes me feel good. You know, so it's like, oh, or if they said, you know, like, even like, you know, there's sometimes I miss and they'll be like, I didn't see your post today. Are you?
Aww, you're an influencer.
Yeah, I'm an influencer. I didn't even know I'm an influencer.
That's great. It's positivity is what we need. Yes. Within the past couple of years, you know, we all know we need the positivity. And I thank you for being positive. That's what we need.
Right.
All right. So thank you to the monthly supporters, Darren White, Vicky Ferreira, John Kaminsky, Jim C., Michael Bogner, David Mead, Matt Smith, and Denise Weiss. Guys, thank you for supporting the show. I really appreciate it. Also, check out Outdoor Chronicles Photography. Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondacks, and White Mountains. She is also an officiant for getting married and a license guide, but she is a story maker. Molly won't just give you photos, she'll give you memories that will last forever. Don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography on all platforms. Also, have you ever wanted to learn more about hiking and backpacking? Or even just brush up some of your old skills in the backcountry? Check out Trailbound Project, a hiking and backpacking school. Scott and Joe from the New Jersey Search and Rescue Team have amazing backgrounds in wilderness first aid, wilderness first responder, and Mountain Rescue Association, and they are there for you to help teach you learn old and new school tricks of hiking and backpacking. They teach anything from first aid, map, and compass, and many other skills that can help you and other people while on the trail. Check them out on their website and all social media platforms. They have daily, weekly activities and anything that could help you out. So check them out. So, Vicky, I don't know if this is a special case, and you have anything to drink tonight?
Yes, I am. I purposely got something to drink.
Yes.
Because I know every... So I am having like a woman's drink of wine of Sutterholme White Merlot. I usually drink that in the spring. Yeah, that's like my favorite. I mean, red wine I do enjoy, but it's a little heavy. But just to have something, you know, and it's cold, so it's a cold drink. So you can drink it cold. So I'm having it cold because I didn't just want to have a beer. I was trying to find something, you know, that I could. You know, that's for the goddesses, like a girl drinks, a lady drinks.
Oh, I drink wine, Vicky, so do not say. I would say that's, yes, a more woman's drink, but I drink it all the time, so.
Oh, okay.
But Vicky, just to let you know, you are the first person that has wine on the show.
Oh, really? Wow, 97.
97.
But everybody, I have listened to all your podcasts, but I didn't pay attention to what everybody drinks, so.
I know, yeah. It's tough to keep up. It's mostly beer or cider or just water, but nobody has had some wine. So fantastic.
Okay. So cheers.
That's going to be a celebration. I am definitely having it's called a Waggers hard cider from Penn Yan, New York. Smashed hard cider, actually.
Oh, okay.
Penn Yan up in the Finger Lakes. Me and my wife went up there to see a friend and he took us to this little cider mill. This seriously place is probably the size of an average like living room, and it has apple cider, just apples all over the place, hard cider, everything phenomenal. The funny thing is like it was really odd because there was like bees flying through there, like a couple bees up top above you. It was really scary, but it was fine at the same time. They had cider donuts and everything. Beautiful spot up in Penn Yan. And it's, you can't, what sucks is you can't order online. So I'm going to have to go up there, which doesn't bother me because I can see my friend. But hard cider, I love hard cider. I don't know. Do you drink hard cider?
Yes, I do actually drink hard cider. Good. And, I had a Northeast, I believe. They make several hard ciders. And I've had, because I got together with my family, my kids, and, you know, we all in the same place, like for a weekend in Massachusetts. And they had right by Camelback Mountain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was Camelback Mountain. Right over the New York border into Massachusetts. Great Barrington. I can't remember.
Yep.
And they had the, so they had that weekend, it was this past summer, they had, a wine and beer festival, and they had a whole bunch of cider places. So I tried all these different ciders. So like I said, Down East, it wasn't Northeast, it was Down East. And they had like a watermelon cider. They had, and then there was, what was the other company? I forgot, but they also had a hard, strawberry lemonade. Especially it was a hot day. It was just so refreshing, you know, because it was like, don't want to drink a heavy, like a red wine or any. So, you know, so I went and tried all the ciders that they had. They had some shandies, you know, some of the shandy wine, cider beers.
Yeah.
Like lemonade and stuff. And they were just so cold and so good.
I am jealous as heck. That sounds like an absolute fantastic day.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Like, we weren't, expecting it. Was just something that we went for the weekend and just happened to be there. Like, we did some hiking in the area, but then they also had this in the afternoon. So it was nice after we came back from our hikes to go there for the day, the rest of the day. It was really nice. Yeah.
Nice. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad.
My kids are in their 30s, so nobody's, not young enough to, and they all like beer and wine. So it was perfect. It was a great way to spend the day as a family.
Nice. Yeah. So, excellent. I'm glad you enjoy hard cider. It's so good. I'm not a beer guy and stuff like that. I like my cider. I like my liquor and I like wine. I like wine too. You made me think now I should have a wine on here.
Maybe for the 100th episode, you have some wine or.
We'll have some wine. Speaking of 100 episodes, we'll go into previous hikes, but Vicky, I am thinking of having a 100th episode celebration, actually. So I've been in the talks with Ryan from Camp Catskill, and might have a live episode from Camp Catskill.
Oh.
On, my 100th episode would be in November. So I'm guessing, today's 27th, 98, 99, 100, the 18th of November. So mark that down, anybody who's listening and wants to come to camp.
I'll put it in the group too. They all listen.
Well, good. Yeah. Yay.
Yes. So, yay.
November 18th. Hopefully I'm in the talks with Ryan about it. Camp Catskill, we're going to have a 100th episode celebration and a live show from there. And there's going to be no specific topic. I'm going to invite anybody that's been on a show or anybody that wants to come. You can come check out, hang out, ask questions. Doesn't matter. We're just going to there to have a good time and to celebrate 100 episodes, which I can't believe we have done.
Yeah. So when you get like a promo or whatever, let me know so I can post it in the group. Yeah, okay. Because when he first opened his shop, in fact, I went in. He was just open like a week or two, I believe. And I went in and I like took pictures and I posted it on the group in the, the goddess group. And a whole bunch of ladies have been going there. Like whenever they go into the Catskills, they've been going and like utilizing his store and stuff because he's a great guy. Wealth of information and he has everything you really need. He's awesome.
Yep, definitely. So once again, November 18th, 100th episode celebration, live show from Camp Catskill. We're in the works of talking about it and getting it set up. So if anything else changes, I'll let you guys know on the next episode. So Vicky, what was your previous hike today? You went on a hike today?
Okay, yes. Today I went to Alpine, New Jersey, right along the Palisades with my good friend, Debbie. I met her through when I started the goddess group. She wasn't in the goddess group in the beginning, but I met her. Like I said, I've met so many people. I've made such good friends from this group. And I'm so happy that other ladies are making great friends. So we went to Tyler's Landing and Kloster Dock Trail Loop because I wanted to see the ruins.
Nice.
I'm a big ruins fan, a big cave person, and I love sharing that with others as well, with the ladies in the group. So we have a lot of ruins hikes and a lot of, like fun places like that. So we did that today. She and I did that. It was like 6.5 miles. It was part of it was a long path. So I wanted to incorporate that too for the ladies because we always try to work on challenges within the group as a group.
Yeah.
So, we have a bunch of ladies working on the 3500s. We do the, as a group, not everybody goes, but we do the fire tower challenge every year as, as planned hikes. Cause I do planned hikes. So we incorporate those as well, that as well.
Nice.
So
So yeah. You got out there today. So how it was a beautiful day, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And I'm back. I was away on vacation last week. So I didn't really hike. I did a little bit of little hike. We were in Curacao down in the Dutch Antilles, my husband and myself. Yeah, it was our first real vacation since before COVID. So, you know, we haven't been on a plane.
Oh, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just nice to unplug and, you know, just have a great week. And we did some caving and some hikes, some ATVing, snorkeling, you know, kayaking. We, you know, have some downtime too.
I was going to say, wait a minute, did you have any downtime?
Yeah, we did. Not everything was like 24/7. So.
Well, that's good. Where's Curacao? Where's that?
It's part of the ABC Island, so it's below Aruba. So it's Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao are considered the Dutch Antilles Islands. And it's below the hurricane belt. So my husband only has a week every year. He's a pharmacist in a independent pharmacy. So he never gets time. So this was his week off. So we went down there. So we didn't have to worry about any hurricanes. So we were below that. We were closer to the equator that way. So it was good.
Nice. Well, that's good. You definitely need those times. Like,
yes,
I love the mountains, but I also like you said, need to unplug and rest and just enjoy.
Right. And it was interesting. We kayaked because I've done a little bit of kayaking, but we kayaked and we just swimming. I've used different muscles that I use when I'm hiking. My legs are like killing me. Oh my God, my legs. And it was from the swimming. So it was great. It was great. And we had sunshine today. 90 degree weather every day. It was good.
Nah, it sounds like a dream vacation.
It was nice. It was nice.
Fabulous. Yeah. So today I didn't go hiking. I had my part-time job, but I went to do disc golf. I mean, that's fun. I don't know if you've ever done disc golf.
I've never done that. I've heard of it, but I've never done it.
You know, certain places have absolutely phenomenal, like where I live, these disc golf places are basically like hiking in the woods.
Okay.
Just like kind of like golf, but with trees around everywhere, like massive, you know, pine trees or, it's phenomenal. So I went disc golfing today with my buddy, Alex, who's been on the show before. And we went to Glimmerglass State Park, and then we went down to the Omegang Brewery and did that awesome, phenomenal course down there. So,
yes, Omegang.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day. Like you said, it started off 34 degrees here.
Okay.
And then it juiced up to 65 when we were almost done with the day. I was like, man, this is beautiful. One of those days where the wind was blowing, the leaves you could hear crackling on the grounds, and, you know, getting older, 41 years old, you just realize how absolutely fantastic you have it at certain times. Right. And you're just like, you're just like, wow, this is a beautiful day.
Right. Yeah. Cause I know myself, you're a baby. I'm 60. I'm a baby. But I know what you're saying because, you know, I used to teach when I was, fitness. I'm still a fitness instructor, but I used to teach 20 classes a week.
Oh, wow.
Three gyms. That's why I said I was a social hiker. I never really was able to hike and or enjoy the outside. And now, you know, when I came back to work after, when they called us back after, you know, COVID and the gyms opened up again, I said, I won't work weekends and I only want to teach, you know, 7 classes a week.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I want to have time to hike, you know, and I want to have time to enjoy the outdoors because it is so, it's peaceful to me. Even when I'm like, you know, out with the ladies and leading a hike, I still feel peaceful. Yeah. It's just something about being outdoors. It's just so healing. And, you know, it's just wonderful. It just helps besides your physical being, it just helps your mental being too.
Exactly.
It really
gives you time to reset. basically.
Yes.
That's what I say. And, you know, it doesn't matter which way. Like I said, I played disc golf today, but I was in the woods just taking a good old walk locally or something like that. Kind of gives you that little balance of insanity with your job and then sanity when you're outside breathing the fresh air and, you know, like, ah, you know, I don't have to hear calls over, you know, your phone or calls over the intercom or stuff like that. You can hear just the wind blowing and maybe say hi to a couple people, you know.
Right.
So I'm glad somebody else gets it like me.
Yeah, it's great because, like, even in the Catskills, it's like, it's great because there's no service. And it's wonderful.
Right.
No one could bother, not just people bothering you, but, you know, the phone beeping, you know, your notifications and everything. And it's great because it's funny. I'll get into Phoenicia, and that's when you get service again after, like, being on Slide or, you know, over at Hawkett or any of those places, and I don't have service all day, and then you get it there, and then the phone starts pinging.
Boop. Yeah.
Ping, 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 ping. And it's just like, oh, okay. It's like back to reality after being unplugging, and it's just a true, unplug, and it's great.
Yeah. And so good. Glad you enjoy it like I do. Time to unwind and to reconnect with yourself, basically. Yeah. So that's basically our previous hike. So once again, Catskill News. I'm going to hopefully November 18th, a live show at Camp Catskill, working out the logistics of it and stuff like that. Also, the volunteering, you can still kind of volunteer for the Catskill Mountain Club, the Visitors Center. Just look into it. Catskill Trail Crew is winding down this past Sunday. So, but make a plan next year to maybe dedicate one or two days to volunteering. Doesn't matter if it's 3,500 club trailhead stewards, you know, just going out for trail maintenance for New York, New Jersey Trail Conference. Anything helps out our mountains, definitely. Volunteering. Vicky will talk about volunteering tonight because she is an avid volunteer and she is very inspirational with her volunteering, both with her hiking group and with the club. So thank her for that. Also, get stickers. Let me know if you guys want stickers. Also, you can go to Camp Catskill to get stickers. So, Vicky, how about we go into Catskill Mountain history?
Yes.
Excellent. So I found this little short history in the Heart of the Catskills by Bob Student, and I thought it was very funny because of the headline of the paragraph was a little funny, so I decided to read into it, and I actually liked it. So it says, it's supposed to be ain't worth interest in Shandaken, but it says taint worth interest in Shandaken. So I'm sorry if that's a little inappropriate, but it says it in the title, so I'm going to say it. Taint worth interest in Shandaken. Sorry to say that. So I have a feeling this is about Shandaken, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. So it's a really good passage from Bob Studing. So for quite some time, the generally accepted view had been that before the arrival of the Europeans in the 17th century, the Catskill Forest was composed primarily of hemlock. So the thick hemlock, it was believed that underneath the canopy, even on the brightest of the day, was always twilight. One author states, in fact, before tanning, there was gigantic forest of hemlock, now faded away. Another asserts that when they looked on the forest from a distance, all they could see was unbroken blue-black color due to this pervasiveness of the hemlock. A third presumes that before settlement, the hemlock was the most common tree in the forest, and the fourth states that prior to the building of the tanneries in Catskills were almost continuous forests of hemlock. Granting of authoritiness in the sources of opinion, it is not surprising, therefore, that such popular view of extensive hemlock forests persist on this day. As a result, Robert P. McIntosh addressed this issue in the scientific monograph on the forest cover of the Catskill Mountain region. In this pioneering work, McIntosh writes, a common view of extensive stands of hemlock is not substantialized in the area. And as of recent year in 2000, In his masterwork, The Catskill Forest, A History, Michael Kudish finds it necessary to reiterate this view. The eastern hemlock, he writes, is a common species in the Catskills, but it's never dominant hemlock, he writes. It also, and yet, though Kudish was to state in 1971 doctoral thesis that statements that all hemlocks were cut for tan bark and that hemlocks were covered in entire Catskills have been made without any serious reflection. During the 19th century, though, it appeared that those who observed the destruction firsthand that this was not the case. As early as 1951, Sadoc Pratt, in somewhat self-servingly, was to write, "No more bark can be had in any vicinity," and the land was cleared for 10 miles around. And this report to the Forestry Commission was the state of New York just prior to the establishment of the Catskill Forest Preserve. Some 34 years later, Charles Sprague Sargent, professor of agriculture at Harvard University, was to state that the Catskill Forest had been so ransacked by lumbering and tannering in the interest of possibility of yielding merchandise timber was remote. Even a study of the Catskill Forest products released by the State Forest Fishing Game Commission at the beginning of the next century was reported that in a few years, a small amount of hemlock remaining in the Catskill region would be gone, and that the species would become extinct.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
I know.
Once again.
With Dr. Mike Stuart Kudish.
Phenomenal human being, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, such a wealth of information. I've learned so much from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, once again, Bob Studium was basically saying that all the Catskills were covered in hemlock, and then tanning came in and totally wiped that out. And all we see is the hemlock basically at the tall peaks of the mountain forest.
Right.
Some certain areas that they could not access. So very crazy stuff to think that, you know, if you were coming in the Catskills in 1851, mid 1800s, that the hemlocks were covering the area, that basically you could not get. It was like bushwhacking up Friday in Balsam Cap the whole way. That's got to be pretty fun to, you know, maybe take, you're going up Giant Ledge and all this right in the beginning, you're hitting absolute thick hemlocks and you got to bushwhack the whole way up.
Right. Yeah. It's actually a couple of weeks ago, I went out and did that. And you saw like where the first growth was much lower. I did older bark.
Yeah. Why didn't you talk about that?
I know. Oh. That wasn't my latest hike. My latest hike was today.
Good point. All right. We'll talk. I'm going to put that in the show notes real quick.
Okay.
Older bark. Okay.
Yeah, because that kind of goes with like what you were saying about the history.
Yeah.
Because that area is so untouched.
Yeah. Older bark was basically too steep for anybody to get up to and too steep to bring it down by, you know, horse and wagon, horse and buggy.
Right.
Even at the later times of, you know, machines, they were just like, screw this. This is too big to get around. So they were just like, whatever, we'll leave it alone. And that's why it's so thick and crazy up there. It's awesome. It's untouched.
Yes, it really truly is.
And it's that's the beauty, right? That's the beauty.
Because you really truly have to read the forest. And it's like sometimes we'll go out, like I said, with the group, and I'll say to them, what do you see? And can you see, like, tell them how we should go? And that's how I really had to use that, because there's no, you know, there's no trail. There's no even a herd path or anything. You really, truly have to read the forest.
Nice. Nice way to say that.
Perfect. Yeah.
You do have to read the forest. And sometimes it says, you know, what do I say to my wife all the time? You got to go to the least resistance area, basically, the easiest way. And sometimes that isn't the case, you know. And bushwhacking up, we did from Balsam Cap to Friday, and I was like, it's a lot easier to bushwhack over. And she was just like, this is the least, well, I usually call it the path of least resistance. And She was like, this is the path, you know, because trees were hitting her, branches were hitting her. And she's like, this is the path of least resistance. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, it is. Look at the other places you're looking at.
Yeah, there's lots of, yeah, we had to like, you know, had to push your poles up and try to push through and
block your eyes.
Deal with stuff it. Like, yeah.
All the above. Wow. So good point. We'll talk about older bark in a second. So we'll go through our last sponsors. So is it time for new gear and hiking the Catskills? Say no more. Camp Catskill in Tannersville has all your hiking needs. Footwear, a sock, moisture wicking shirts, free dry meals, Catskill merchandise, and micro spikes. They have all the essentials for your hiking needs. Located in Tannersville and online, check out Camp Catskill. If you want free stickers, also stop here. Also, if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take Scenic Route. Scenic Route Guiding are here to help you with your goals, big or small, like Marcy or Slide or Lone of the Seward. Check out the Scenic Route Guiding Gear Rentals on Instagram and Facebook for more information. Also, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off. Use the code word Mountain Lion. Check out also Another Summit, a nonprofit program that leads outdoor adventure activities for veterans and first responders for free. Activities like walking or hiking or even backpacking and paddling trips. Check out anothersummit.org for more information on dates and future events. I did a backpacking event up in the Pemigewasset Luke with Another Summit. Awesome organization. Check them out. All right, so let's get on to the guests of the night.
Let's go.
Vicky Ferreira and the New York State Tri-State Lady Hiker Goddesses Group. And also she is going to talk about how hiking helped her with therapy and help her get back into her great life that she is in right now. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So Vicky, thank you for joining me on the show and thank you for supporting the show.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me on the show to talk about, you know, my group and anything else that I can help people with. So yeah, mm-hmm. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on here. And once again, thank you for supporting the show. I still can't believe after 97 episodes, you still have fun with this show.
Right. In fact, I just recently bought, you know, because like I said, my husband's not much of a hiker, but like I bought the Tom Rankin's book. I didn't know that it was available. So from your podcast, I said, oh, I have to get this book because, you know, like we'll go hiking, go for a little hike and then we can go and get some, you know, go to the breweries and stuff. So that's
nice.
Yeah. And then that other one that you actually did, the road, like the road less traveled, really helped me with my group and planning hikes. That was early on.
Yeah. The gems, right?
It was 1 week you didn't have anybody. So you said, you're just going to talk about some less traveled hikes, you know, in the Catskills. I didn't know that there was like that extra, you know, that other way to go to Mount Tremper. So
oh, yeah.
Helped, you know, help me like, cause we had done Overlook and the ladies were like, oh my God, this is, you know, just cause it's just basically straight up Overlook.
Yeah.
You know, and you go to Tremper, the one way that most people go is that straight up hike again. So like, I wanted to do something different. And then I listened to you and talk about I forget where you go from, but the back way to Mount Tremper. And we did that. And it was a much nicer hike that day.
Yeah. The Jessup Road one.
Excuse me?
The Jessup Road one. It's from Jessup Road.
Yes.
That is such a phenomenal hike.
Yes.
It goes up an old log road. And then all of a sudden you take the turn on the junction and it goes up gradually. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
You know, especially for those ladies who aren't so experienced, but they want to be able to do, like I said, do the Fire Tower Challenge. It's a nice way to go, especially after they're like, oh my God, you know, they had difficulty on the Overlook, some of them, not everybody, but some of the ladies. And I want everybody to be able to do hikes. So that's my goal, is to help everybody be able to get out and stuff, you know.
Such a good goal. Thank you for having that goal.
Yeah.
So, Vicky, why don't you give a little background about yourself? And
I'm 60 years young.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I have, you know, I'm married to my wonderful husband, 37 years. We're together. And he's a great support system as well. I have two children, two grown children, my daughter and my son. They're both married. I have one grandbaby. He's 10 and a half months old.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's nice. He's really nice. And, you know, and let's see, what else can I tell you? I'm an Olympic weightlifter.
Hell yeah. I remember you.
Yes. I'm a
senior stuff on that. That's crazy.
Record holder. And the hiking actually helps with my lifting, and the lifting helps with the hiking, because it's all legs. They're both all legs. People think that you use your arms, but it's your legs that actually puts the bar overhead. So it, you know, it's really neat to be able to do both, you know, and have them both support each other as activities. So it's great. Yeah. So that's my background. I think I mentioned at the beginning, I'm a fitness instructor, you know, part-time.
How long have you been a fitness instructor, by the way?
I've been a fitness instructor for 15 years.
Nice.
I was actually, you know, through my, even into my 40s, I was like 230 pounds.
Wow.
I could walk to my mailbox, and now, you know, now I'm climbing Mount Washington.
Right? What's your, if you don't mind saying, what's your weight right now?
I'm 153. Wow. 71 kilos. I compete in the 71 kilogram group. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Transformation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, do you have, what's your, hiking or your physical, your profession? Do you have a link that I can put on here?
Oh, I work at the New York Sports Club.
New York in Sports Carmel, Club.
Yeah. The New York Sports Club, you know, Carmel, New York. Like I said, I teach 3 days a week. My other days are for hiking.
Okay. Awesome.
So yeah. And I was there before when I was doing all the other classes, but I was in three clubs at that point. So now I'm just in the one club in Carmel. Yeah.
Can you talk quickly about your Olympic lifting background?
Oh, okay. So
yeah, I haven't heard much about that, Vicky, so I'm very interested.
Oh, okay. So I started, through the New York Sports Club, when I was just losing weight, I had a great trainer who was opening a CrossFit gym. So I followed him to that. And, you know, with CrossFit, you do a little bit of everything. But the part I really liked was Olympic weightlifting. And actually, my present coach did a workshop at the CrossFit gym. And I liked it so much that I followed him there, and I stopped doing the CrossFit, because CrossFit, a lot of those workouts I do in my exercise, in my gym classes that I teach. So I just focus on weightlifting there. And I started that 7.5 years ago. And from there, about five years ago, right before COVID, because actually during COVID, the gym, my weightlifting gym closed. So that was very sad too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I had done like one competition before then. And then after that, I got back when the gym opened, when my weightlifting gym, the New York Weightlifting Academy, opened again, I started competing again. So yeah, so I've gone to nationals twice. Once was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And last year was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was the last time. So,
wow.
Yeah, I played third medalist at the nationals. So, yeah.
Wow. So, I'm not familiar with weightlifting. Like,
it's a snatch, clean and jerk are the two lifts that I do. Because there's like powerlifting, where you do the deadlift, the chest press, and back squat. This is the snatch and the clean and jerk. That's your two Olympic weight lifts.
So what's the weight that you have to lift?
It depends. I've done like, it's always in kilograms. So my record snatch was 37 kilograms, which is about 35. It's about 85 pounds. And then my clean and jerk was 53, which is 116 pounds.
Jesus. Yikes.
And they grade you on technique, not just weight that you put up.
Yeah, of course.
Have you put a lot of weight? And if your technique is not correct, it's like gymnastics. If your technique is not right, it doesn't count. Because I'm also a weightlifting judge. I got my judging.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I do judging as well.
Excellent. That's amazing. So physical background basically is what you've gotten at in the past 5 to 7 years.
Yes.
Basically getting yourself into a great physical area for your body. And now this is catapulted into hiking, weightlifting, stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah. Because I just, you know, like I said, I lived so long and I was basically, you know, just killing myself. So it's come later in life, but I'm happy because now it's like, I just feel so good. You know,
it's crazy how long it takes, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've started hiking, you know, 9 years ago. You know, I hiked previously very, very rarely and stuff, but now at 41 years old, I am almost in the best shape of my life, except for when I was in high school. Of course, everybody was in the best shape. but, you know, it's just crazy how long it takes to get into that mindset of where, like, wow, I can still be, you know, I can feel as young as I was, but your knees and your back and your joints don't feel that way after hikes. But you can yes. get close to that feeling, and you are hitting that basically. How do your knees and your joints feel after hiking? Do they hurt?
They feel good. They actually, knock on wood, they feel good.
Do you have a certain like therapy or something that you do? Come on, help me out.
No. Well, I do stretch because a lot of times, especially when I leave the Catskills, I'm driving home for 2 hours. So I just do a little bit of stretching. I don't do anything like it, you know, really long, but I do some stretching, you know, and that really helps. And then, you know, even before, like I'll stretch a little bit as well before we start out, you know, so I just don't get out of the car, put on my boots, and then we start.
Oh, wow.
You know. And I try to get the, you know, the ladies to even do some of that too. And what's really great too is that, you know, some of these ladies haven't even hiked ever. And they're starting out new and they'll come on the easier hikes. And to see how they've grown and gotten stronger. And our group, even though we have a few young ladies who come, and they'll come like with their moms, we have mature ladies. Like, 40s and above, you know. Okay. It's great to see ladies in their 70s, close to 80, and they're rocking it all over the place. And it's just amazing. Wow.
It's amazing, you know, what nature can to you. And like you, like physical therapy can help you out. It can reset your mind and it can reset your body and it can strengthen everything. Like I said, from your mind to your body. And like, you know, I've seen, I remember seeing going up Vlai or going down Vlai with my wife, and we saw an 89-year-old guy hiking Vlai for his 83rd time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I seriously was getting ready to get down on my hands and knees and be like, I bow down to you. What is your secret? I did ask him, what is his secret? And he said, 2 knee replacements. And I was like, oh, ouch.
But it's, you know, great to see like these ladies. And like I said, like there's some that, you know, it's my first hike, I don't know if I could do it. I said, well, you know, first of all, what I stress in my group is we all start together, we finish together, we stay together. You know, there's some ladies that, you know, they'll let me know before, you know, I have to do something, can I go ahead? And yes, I'll let them go. So it's not like a rigid where you can't do, you know, but we always set the pace as the slowest hiker.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's what I wanted to have, like where we all could stop and take pictures and not feel like we're going to be left, because I've been left by a group that's been, you know, remained nameless, but, you know, and I didn't want that for us, you know, for others to have. So that's why. Yeah.
Vicky, I'm going to cut this out. Was this the Hudson Valley Hikers that you left you behind?
I'm not saying.
How about your hiking background, Vicky? What can you tell us about your hiking, when you kind of started, how you progressed, and where you're at now?
Yeah, so like I said, I started as a social hiker. We'd go out a few times, and my kids are big hikers. So like at Christmas, like Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, you know, I always did Christmas Eve. And then Christmas nice. Day, we'd go on a hike. And that would be like the extent of it. I get out a few times with my friends. I went on a women's hiking group back in early 2019. And we went to Vermont. I only knew one lady who was going. And I drove up to Vermont. And I had the best 4 days of my life with these other ladies. And we hiked. We hiked Killington. We hiked. And that was like my biggest that I've ever hiked. We did a few other mountains in the area. I did caving, and that was the first time I ever went into a cave. And I have a fear of heights. So the first time I did Breakneck with one of my girlfriends who really got me into hiking during COVID, Gretchen, she loves scrambles. So she says, let's just do Breakneck. Will you go with me? I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. And I was petrified. And I said, just leave me here. Just leave me on the side. Now we were doing the first level of this. Like, I can't go any further. I have to stay here. I want to go down. Can we? She goes, you can't go back down. You have to go up. And I was like scared. And she got me through it. And it just grew from there. So then I started. So especially during COVID, she and I would go out 2 to 3 times a week. And my friend Roberta, she started me like doing the 3500s. We went to Panther, and Giant Sledge was like our first one. And then from there, then a little bit after that, we did some other mountains, and we did Sugarloaf, we did Twin. Wow. And then after that, when we were going to really like do the third, that's when I learned about the 3500 challenge. And that's when I really started doing a little bit more. And then COVID hit. And then I lost my job because the gym's closed.
Of course.
I was like, okay, what do I do? I'm sad. My husband's a pharmacist. He was an essential employee. So he was working every day. I was home alone. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And so my girlfriend, Gretchen, the one that got me to do Breakneck, she'll go anywhere. She doesn't like to plan. So then we started hiking. And that's when I thought of like the, you know, doing this group and like working together. And it was only going to be a few ladies, you know, like my friends and her. And then, so then they started inviting friends, and then they started being friends, and nice. We kind of grew from there. Yeah. And from there, so that's like my hiking background. I've completed the third, like things I've done like the, before I did the 3500 challenge, I did like the 52 hike challenge. I did the 100 hike challenge from the Hiker Babes. I did the 3500s.
Nice.
I finished doing the Burroughs Range, and as a 2-day backpack, and that was the first time I ever like did primitive camping backpacking. That was excellent. I did that with Mo Lemire of Hike On Guides. And I love backpacking. I want to do it again. Right. And I was supposed to do it this summer, but then I got sick with my friend Gretchen, and I got sick because she wanted to go out with me now. So it's like, now it's a role reversal because
nice.
I'm times, and now she, like, she's helping. I'm helping her where she helped me get me, forced me to get out. And then I'm working on the highest 100, the nice. Catskill Highest 100. I've done 14 of those. And I climbed out for my 60th birthday. I wanted to climb Mount Washington. So I climbed Mount Washington for my 60th.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Did you have a nice day on that?
Yes, we had a perfect, perfect day.
Nice.
And I think the night before, like my mom has passed, and I prayed to her. I prayed to God, please let us have a nice day. I, you know, like, cause I set this up back in like February.
Oh yeah.
You know, now it's July, my birthday's July, and it could go either way. And in fact, like the next couple of days after, cause I follow the, Mount Washington Weather Observatory. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like it was raining before, it was raining after, but we had a picture perfect day. In fact, it rained the last half mile on the way down.
Oh, nice.
But it was like, at that point, we were almost done.
And you were laughing it off.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Crying it off, really.
We had like such, you know, and it was great because it was me and four of my good friends that I've actually met through the goddess group. We all became friends through this group. So it was a wonderful day, wonderful experience. And I want to go back for now.
Well, you went up to Huntington Ravine, right?
We went up, oh shoot, I'm so bad with names. We went up it begins with an A.
Tuckerman Ravine?
Tuckerman's Ravine, we came down.
Oh, you came down that. Wow, brave, very brave.
Yes, it was.
Mo is a little
we came brave down with that one. Ravine, and we went up the
Ammonoosuc?
Ammonoosuc, yes.
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay. We went up the Ammonoosuc and came down Tuckerman's Ravine. That was all rocks. That was like coming down Tuckerman's was challenging.
Wow. That Mo is a prick. That Tuckerman Ravine is absolutely insane to go up, to go down. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations on that, by the way. Absolutely phenomenal accomplishment.
Yeah, so I have to think, what do I do for 61?
Right? I mean, there's so many others.
3,500 on, it was my 59, so I have to think of something for 61. So we have time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. So you were on a previous podcast called Hiking as My Therapy.
Yes.
And that was about how you've used hiking as a way to get a battle out of depression. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Okay. So
If that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's definitely okay. Cause I really didn't even know that I was suffering like from depression, but before, cause I never really, like I strived for everything beforehand. Like I thought, maybe it's my weight. So, cause like I said previously that I was very heavy and I thought, well, maybe that was my issue. And then I lost the weight, but then I was still suffering in silence and just like never being happy and never feeling good in my skin, you know, like in my own skin. And I couldn't understand what it was. And then it, you know, and I would like have these bouts of like frustration, or I have these bouts of uncontrollable crying. And I never knew, no matter what it was, it was just like, it was just like, it could be a good day, it could be a bad day. And I just didn't know, you know, and to have it, you know, like to find out that that's what I was suffering from. And then, you know, then COVID hit and, you know, I was just like, okay, here I am. I'm home alone. I'm like, and I would just like cry and I'm just like, wouldn't get off the couch. And I was just like, for a few weeks, weeks on end. And I'm just like, just was suffering in silence and suffering inside and suffering outside. And it was affecting my relationships with my family, with, you know, friends, with, you know, like I said, and I, you know, and I, so then, I would like my girlfriend Gretchen, who the one I was, cause she would take my classes at the, New York Sports Club. And so she wanted to get outside. So she said, let's, you know, like, why don't we go for a hike? She goes, you know, we could do whatever you want to do, you know? And like I said, I was basically a social, so I didn't know much about hiking, and I chose some easy trail. And we went, and it was just, I got out, you know, with her, we just were talking and I started to feel better, you know, because I was like, it was like having, you know, she would listen. She would like say, oh, you know, she was having something going on with her family or whatever. And then I would vent to her.
Yeah, right.
And those venting sessions, you know, besides being a hike, it was a venting session. And it really helped me, you know, and made me realize that there was like more in my life that was positive versus negative, and I was focusing on the negative, I think, because I was just always going, because like I said, I was teaching to like 20 classes a week, and I was just constantly going, constantly, you know, teaching. And I couldn't like even tell you what I did in that class before, because I was just like in like hyperdrive and just autopilot. And, you know, I didn't really take time to figure out what was going on within myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like basically, you know, hiking is in terms therapy, because you are, if you're alone or with someone, you are thinking about things. You are getting rid of things.
Yes.
Out on the trail. You are getting rid of your thoughts. You're getting rid of your bad thoughts, your good thoughts, stuff like that. You're talking to yourself. You're talking to somebody else.
Right.
It's very, very good therapy. And, you know, I try to tell people that. Some people don't understand. But once they get out there and do that with either themselves or with somebody else, they'll realize that it's a hell of a good therapy to get rid of certain emotions, certain thoughts, certain, it's phenomenal. And you obviously experienced that through, like, COVID must have been definitely tough for you, because number one, you lost your job for there because they had to shut it down. And number two, your best friend was kind of taken away from you. So,
right.
And you had no one else but your friends and the mountains and the hiking trails to cope with. So.
Right. And it just like, it helped me, because it provided, being out in the wilderness, like provided that outlet. And then like talking with other ladies, you know, just talking with like me and my, you know, my one friend in the beginning. And then, you know, as we formed the goddess group too, and, you know, got out with the ladies, we were helping each other talk through things. And that's true. Like, I didn't feel there was things that I didn't feel comfortable talking in a mixed group, you know, as being a woman, that when you have just a women's group, you can talk about certain things.
Correct. You know, and it's understandable. My wife is the same way. You know, she can talk to me about anything. She's my wife. And, you know, we fart in front of each other, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, her going on a hike and, you know, talking with me about certain stuff about lady hiking and stuff like that and certain lady times is difficult for her to talk with me about, because I have no freaking clue. I don't understand. I can't respond in the way that's going to help her.
Right.
So, like, you know, there would be times when we would go on a hike and all of a sudden we meet up with a lady and she would click with her instantly. And I'd just be like, I'm going to hang back, you know. And of course, so that kind of got into your minds about starting this awesome group called the New York Tri-State Lady Hiker Goddesses Group.
It's a big mouthful.
But it's a phenomenal group, because it, number one, you know, in that area, it brings the ladies together and you guys can help each other out.
Yes. Yeah. Because just talking, I mean, I mentioned it actually on the other podcast, there was, I mean, and we go out that we, you know, we have a final destination, but there've been a few times that we didn't get to our final destination, and it wasn't because the people, ladies, couldn't hike and get there. But we spent the time talking and we ended up like in one spot and just sitting and talking because somebody was having a really terrible time.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Emotionally. And we just had to sit and we had to talk and we just had it, like, we would spend like 2 hours sitting and talking. In fact, we were supposed to go to Stoffel Point and we made it to North Point and we were going to have lunch. And this one woman, she was hanging back and she was on the phone, and then come to find out, we get to, you know, have our lunch at North Point at that point, and she starts crying. And we're like, what's going on? She goes, my husband just asked me for a divorce on the phone.
Oh, and shit.
And we were just like, oh my gosh. So we just like hugged her. Another woman was divorced. So she started, you know, talking and, you know, she just said, you're going to get through it. We're going to get, you know, we're going to help you get through it. And, you know, we just sat and we sat at North Point for like almost 3 hours and just talked. So we never made the stopping point, but that's, you know, that wasn't, you know, even that was a goal. She was more in her pain and hoping to helping her to get her, you know, to feel better so that we can actually go get back to our cars and to make sure she was all right. We just sat there and we just, you know, we just really truly bonded there. It was, yeah.
And I'm sorry. Can I say this?
Yes.
And it's going to be explicit. What a fucking coward.
I know.
Sorry to say that. And I'm sorry once again to my sponsors and the supporters, but that is a very coward move.
Yeah.
So
it was,
shame this man.
Yes. I mean, it was, yeah, it was terrible that, yeah, she was just like, you know, and when we had left, she was, you know, everything was good and we were, you know, but yeah.
You bonded and you helped others. You helped each other through this struggle.
Yeah. And that's what's unique too about our group, because we do help each other and we really, truly, even though, you know, like I said, we're a large group, we've become such a large group, but we're a very warm and caring group.
Yeah. So when did you start this group, by the way?
It's the official date was December 27th, 2020. So it's almost 3 years old. It'll be three nice. Years. Yeah. And we have like close to 4,000 ladies.
Wow. 4,000? No shit.
Yeah. When we had, like, I remember like when I first started, my husband was like, when we were only like 50 or 100, he's like, I hope all these ladies are going to come at one time. And nobody comes all at one time.
Of course.
But, you know, and there's ladies in the group that, you know, have never come. But, you know, but we do see, like, new people every, you know, every so often. And it's really great. And
so, of course, those hard times that you had, A, with yourself, and those hard times that you've had, that you've helped others throughout, did that basically start you on this journey of with your group, this new group?
What started the new group, you know, because we were working, you know, as those, we were like those three or four ladies starting the 3500s. And we wanted to do do the 3500s, but we didn't want to do it in, you know, like, wasn't so much that we had to be, they kind of wanted a women's group, but also, you know, one where we could just go on our own at our own pace. And that's how it basically started. And it started out of an Instagram message, not an Instagram message, a Facebook message. And we were messaging back and forth, setting up the days. And I said, why don't we just start a group where we could just like set up an event and make it easier to, you know, and that's how it started.
Wow. That's
basically
awesome.
How it started.
And now it's freaking grown exponentially.
Yeah, we only had like three people on a hike the first, you know, when we did Boston Lake that first year. And the most we've ever had was like 30, wow. You know, 30. And I've learned, you know, now I have sweepers. That was a learning experience.
Awesome.
Because we, you know, there's certain places we can't go with 30 people that we have to break up into groups, but we break up into groups. And we do certain hikes that are annual hikes at special times of the year. So like this Saturday, in fact, we have our I call it tutus and tiaras. Cause one lady said one time she saw it on Instagram. These ladies, those girls are wearing tutus. Can we do something like that? I'm like, sure we can.
Hell yeah.
And it started out like one thing and everybody loved it. And so now we do it yearly at like Halloween time. And we go to Minnewaska and we go to Rainbow Falls, because that's, you know, you go up the carriage road, you go right over. So everybody can do it. And, you know, some of the ladies go on longer, and then we go to the winery after.
Nice.
And then in December we do, because I like to do something to give back. So we do an ugly sweater hike. in December, and all month long we collect for Toys for Tots.
Jesus, this freaking group is fantastic than I thought.
And then we have January, the first day we try to have, like, this past year, January, the year before, we had to have it the second day. We do a first day hike in Harriman. And, you know, like, again, we go to different areas of Harriman and we just, like, have champagne and celebrate after.
Wow. Freaking wicked. My wife is going to be so jealous of this.
And then we work, you know, like, we work on the, you know, sometimes we do some 3,500 hikes. We do, like I said, we do the Fire Tower Challenge every year as a group. And we go into Connecticut. We do some hikes in Connecticut. We do hikes in New York and in New Jersey. And through this group, because now, you know, I work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which I wasn't always, you know, when the group started. I have a couple of ladies who have started offshoots, a Monday group that goes out there dedicated a Monday and Friday group. And they said that they wouldn't have those groups if it wasn't for the initial, you know, goddess group. And it's still within the goddess group, but it's just they, you know, they go out every Monday and another group goes out like almost every Friday. And it works out that because I'm, like I said, I'm working, at least the ladies are staying out. And they're socializing and they're, you know, they're hiking together. And so it's really nice to have that too.
That's absolutely phenomenal. Like I said, my wife is going to be so jealous that she lives so far away to not join this group.
Oh, well, we do get up in the hills. I don't know if that's too far for her.
Not at all. She's still working on her 3,500. She's got.
Yes. We're doing Sugarloaf this month.
Okay. She's already done Sugarloaf. She's got. Toughest. She's got the toughest yet. So she's got Wittenberg Cornell, Fur, Big Indian.
Big Indian's a good one.
It is. It is. We have different stuff planned. So maybe I'll have her get in this goddesses group and see if she can go back and forth with them.
We'll figure it out. Even if she messages me. It says what time she, you know, because that's how I met Debbie, my girl, and we're like best friends now. She couldn't go out. Oh, because she couldn't go out because she's single. So she belongs to like a whole bunch of hiking groups. And she says, I doubt that I'm going to be able to get on a goddess group. And I joined. So I said to her one day, and I hadn't met her yet. I said, why don't we just go out? Why don't we just go out? So she said, okay, we'll just go out. She goes, and we went out. And like I said, since we've become like the best of friends and we go out as part of the group, and then she and I get to go out once a month, just the two of us. So we can, you know, catch up because I can't always talk to her when we're in the group. Like, cause the group's just, and I'm thinking about all like 100 million things. We really don't get to chat and whatnot. So we go out like once a month and we, you know, so.
Nice. See? Okay. So I'll get her. I'll be like, get your ass on this. So did you ever think that this was going to blossom into this amazing group like this?
No. I never really thought it. I really, truly didn't believe it was going to be this way. And, you know, and I mean, I don't like to, I'm not a person who really likes to talk about themselves, but a few of the ladies said the group is this way because of the way that I am, they say, because of my positivity, you know, including everybody and, and making everybody feel like, you know, like they'll say, you're the best hostess because you make everybody feel like they're, you know, part of the group.
Exactly. Vicky, it's called comfortable. You make everybody feel comfortable.
That's a good way to put it. Yes, I like that.
It's, you know, to be that way, that's you know, it's a great leader. You're a leader. Yeah. That's what it is. So that's fantastic. It is because of you that this group has grown and these people have grown, these ladies have grown stronger.
Right.
And they are more confident now. And, you know, they ask you questions. This is what it's all about.
Yes. Yeah. And even, you know, even ladies who haven't even come on a hike, they'll have questions about, you know, gear, or, you know, what do you think about this trail? You know, have you done this or whatever? And, you know, like I make sure I answer them, you know, like do get back to them. You know, it may take me a little bit, but I do make sure I get back to them. So, you know, they're learning, they're getting information, even though they haven't like hiked, you know, so it's good.
And it makes you feel phenomenal, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Right. And it gives you confidence of what you're doing like later on.
Yeah. I've learned a lot from them as well. You know, had it, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a two-way street, you know, like I've learned from them and they've learned from me. So it's a, you know, it's a give and take. So it's good.
Exactly. So that's phenomenal. Let's also not forget about good old Mo. That's helped out once in a great while, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've done a lot with him as well. I never forget him. I've gone out with Sarah Bacon too. She taught me so much. I did 2 map and compass classes with her.
She's cool as fuck.
So I like.
She's an idiot. I hear.
I know you have that playful answer.
We do. Sarah and I have that back and forth of basically kind of like a middle finger to each other. It's great.
Yeah, so but like I said, you know, I've gotten those skills from her, you know, to feel confident with bushwax and to feel, you know, confident reading that map and using the, you know, using the compass.
It's very, very, I wouldn't say empowering, but it kind of is, you know, to know that if you're in a sticky situation, you can navigate your way out of it. And you're just right. Like,
yes, yeah. Because in the beginning, I was just an all trails woman.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, this isn't the right way. You know, so it's good to know, to know how to read the, you know, the paper maps, you know. Thank goodness for the New York, New Jersey Trail Conference and the maps. And
and she also does scenic route guiding. You know that, right?
Yes. Yeah, because that's how I found her, was through the scenic route, you know, kind of. Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet. So like planned events, do you guys have, how far in advance do you do planned events?
A month in advance. This last couple of months, I haven't done in a plan. I usually do a monthly calendar. So okay. November 1st, I put the calendar out. It has all the events, weather dependent.
Of course.
You know, if it's a monsoon, really, really bad weather, we don't go, you know, because safety is paramount. And one time, especially we were in Fawnstock two winters ago, and it went from just being a great, you know, winter day, the sun was out, and then all of a sudden what I had read was that, you know, on the weather, that it wasn't going to come through till 4 o'clock, and it came, the storm came through with a snow squall. At, like, we were almost like 3/4 of the way done, you know, everybody got out, but it was, you know, it was, so I really tried it. It's going to be really, really bad if we don't go out. So,
yeah.
You know, safety first, you know, the mountains are always there. That's how we, you know, that's how I look at it. So
that's how we say it. So you have planned events almost every month, you would say?
Yes, I have.
At least once?
At least once, or, you know, we go out at least 2 to 3 times a month.
Oh, wow. Nice. Least,
yeah, we do. Like I said, so far for November, I haven't made the calendar yet, but we're going to do Sugarloaf is one of them. We're going to do the Red Hill Fire Tower.
Ooh, beautiful.
And I haven't picked a New Jersey and a Connecticut spot yet, but I will do that.
Awesome. Yeah. So that is basically your planned events are inside of your the Goddesses hiking group, correct?
Yeah. Like I don't do, because some people say, why don't you put on meetup? But meetup, I don't want to have that many people. And we have, like I said, you know, like I said, this Saturday we have 35 ladies going.
Wow.
So I don't want to open it, you know, that much. And I, you know, I want to keep it where I know people, you know, even though I don't, may not know you, but you know, you took the time to join the group, you know, and that way.
So basically you get the word out about it on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. There's no other, like, is there an email chain or stuff like that?
Yeah, we just do the, you know, instant message, and we have the you know, the, like I said, I do it as an announcement. I do the, like, put the monthly calendar up on the, you know, on the, in the featured section of the Facebook group.
Okay.
I announce it. I send, what is it called? I send invitations.
Nice.
To all the ladies, you know, in the group. Let's see, I guess that's it. You know, so it's basically a group.
It's basically the Facebook group is, yes, is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so ladies, if you want to get into this this Hiking Goddesses group, you have to go online, get on Facebook, and go through the New York Tri-State Hiker, New York Tri-State Hiker Goddesses group. So look for that, and then you will get basically information on these scheduled hikes. And
yes,
I would seriously go on one of these if I was a lady. I have the confidence. And you and probably your leaders that this would be an absolute fantastic hike.
Yeah, because what was I going to say? Oh, because I had a today message, and she said, "Oh, you know what? I was kayaking in Cold Spring, and one of the ladies says I should join this group." So you know, so she joined the group, and she asked, like,
word of mouth all around. Oh.
And it's just grown from like word of mouth.
So cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I said, they told two friends and so on, and, you know, that whole commercial and so on and so on and so on. And that's basically how it would, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, like, from my point of view, I love seeing women get into this stuff and women become more and more confident into hiking and other skills that are more dominant by men. I love seeing ladies out in the trail, seeing them, you know, kicking ass, setting records, stuff like that. It's just absolutely fantastic. And this shows more confidence that this is happening and this is awesome. And that you ladies, when you stick together, you guys are very powerful. It's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, I've gotten through the group. We've had, I would say, close to between 12 to 15 ladies who became trailhead stewards this year.
Nice. Yeah, so filled, awesome.
We filled a lot of those weekends.
So how about quick break into the trailhead stewards. Can you talk about your experience as a trailhead steward?
Okay. This was my second year. Last year was my first year. I think it's only been around like a few years anyway. So
Yeah. It's been three years, I think.
Just like, I was looking for a way. I was almost finished with my 3500s. I was still an aspirant when I did it the first time. And I remember driving because it was a 2-hour drive to Slide Mountain. And I was a nervous wreck. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But I was there with another lady, Michelle. And she was wonderful. And she just helped me. And she gave me help. And I just listened to her that day. And she showed me what to do. And I said, this is great. And I spoke to a few people and I said, this is wonderful. And there was, you know, and I just helped people. And it wasn't like I was preaching to them or anything. You know, I asked them, you know, you ask questions like, you know, where are you going? Do you have this, blah, blah, blah. And more often than not, everybody was so appreciative. And that made me feel good that I was like helping them. And it was a way, like I said, to give back to the mountains, because the mountains have given me and hiking has given me so much that it's one way that I can give back to the mountains and to help others that may not know certain things and to be more prepared. Because I've seen, you know, some people go, you know, be nervous, like they're getting ready to go like on their first hike, you know, they're going with friends or whatever, and they're like scared. And I just like, you know, I can alleviate that, you know, feeling uncomfortable and, you know, to them during those hours that I'm there being a trailhead steward.
Awesome. And, you know, that is the absolute perfect way to say that, is that you're giving back to the mountains and you know, they give so much to you. What can I do for the mountains?
Yes.
And volunteering for what, 8 hours a day? I mean, the driving takes 4 hours. So it's 12 hours.
Yeah. With the full day,
So within a year, you're volunteering for a full day, maybe, you know, 2 days.
Right. Yeah. Because it's only, you know, they only ask you to kind of do 2 days. Yeah. You know, I try to do more than that. I try to at least get there once a month. And that's, you know, that's my goal, is to be there once a month. Absolutely.
Freaking gold star right there, Vicky.
And like, I went back in, like, after I did my first, you know, set up, like, I'm going to go back in. And because, like I said, like, I told all the ladies, I got a whole bunch of, I'm like, there wasn't any left for me to do.
Yeah. Like, and that's the goal.
Really great. You know, I felt it was really good. And your day is always taken, so I could never get there with you, but maybe this year we'll have to coordinate.
No, to be honest, I'm going to be that guy. I did not, was able not to participate last year. Well, this year.
Okay. I thought you were.
Unfortunately, yeah. Because just so much stuff was going on, and every week was something going on, and then search and rescue, and then this and that.
Right.
But you know, I plan on getting out there next year for my birthday, which is July 26th, which is whatever that weekend is. I plan on getting out there. Okay. So if you want to join me,
yeah,
lock I'll that up.
I'll make sure.
I'm going to lock that up. So definitely. So once again, thank you, Vicky, for doing the amazing thing of volunteering for the mountains, because we definitely need that. And we definitely need the influence to get that message out there about volunteering, that it only takes, you know, even one day a year will make a huge difference.
Right. And it makes a huge difference in how you feel, because I know talking to the other ladies who have done it, they all feel the same way.
You know, exactly. It's great. You feel fantastic helping other people out. So yeah. With the hiking goddesses group, what would you like to see for the future for the group? I mean, growing bigger, you know, having better events, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, we actually had a weekend where we went to Letchworth. We rented a house, like a big Airbnb.
Wow.
It was actually an old converted convent. And we went to Letchworth State Park, and we did Stony Kill, also waterfall. And it was just a great bonding weekend, and I'd like to do more of those.
Nice. Wow.
You know, keep the group growing, keep us going on, you know, hikes, and seeing the ladies will keep growing. You know, what else can I say? Maybe I'd like to, because I'm feeling more confident with sleepovers, you know, camping out. I'd like to do some of those as well, you know, more of those.
Wicked. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, that's hitting it right on the spot, yeah. You know, just getting more confident with you and with the other ladies to get more confident in their hiking, you know, areas is absolutely phenomenal. I see that as a great goal for the future.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, so that's basically where I would like to see it go. Yeah.
Nice. Any advice for the ladies?
Advice would be, don't be afraid. Cause like I said, I used to be afraid. I had a terrible fear of heights, and I have enclosed places, but now I go into the caves, and now I'm not afraid to do these tough scrambles. But if you go in a supportive group, and you just try, you can do so much. It's amazing what you can do.
Nice. Yeah. Confidence is what you need. And, you know, taking that first step is always helpful. And taking that first step with someone else with you is very helpful. And this group, of course, will help you in that. And, you know, like you've done with before with Bo and stuff, having a guide help you out in your first couple hikes will give you that confidence to get on to your next step, to get on to your next goal, to be confident in yourself, basically.
Yeah, it's true. It's, you know, like I remember, because like not being able to do some of these certain, you know, freaking out, like doing Blackhead the first time I did it, and then going back and leading the ladies up Blackhead, you know,
right?
It's what a world of difference, you know, and it was only like a year between the two.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, Vicky, thank you very much for joining me on the show. One last question.
Yes.
The good old post-hike brews and bites from Mary Tea Trail. What can you suggest?
Maeve's Place. That's my go-to. There's two places I go to. Maeve's place. She has phenomenal, you know, full meals and also desserts. I always take home desserts for me and my husband. And she has a whole mess of different homemade jams and jellies and salad dressings. And I, you know, I bring those home as well. My go place, especially summer, is Stewart's for ice cream. I love their ice cream.
Nice, right?
It's not a fancy place, but I love Stewart's ice cream. And it just feels, you know, they're so refreshing after, you know, a long day, even not even just in the Catskills, because they have, you know, Stewart's by all over the place. So, you know, so Stewart's is always a good place too, as well.
So, Vicky, you said May's place?
Maeve's place, M-A-E-V-E-S. It's right in the same center with Woodstock Brewing.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a first. I have not heard of that, and that is definitely a first for here. So,
Maeve, she's a very special young lady. Her mom opened this like red restaurant little spot. She actually has Down syndrome, you know.
No way.
They have special needs employees that also work there, and it's a phenomenal place.
I work in that area. That's my part time job.
Okay, like it's right next to the Woodstock Brewery on the other end.
Sweet.
Yeah, so you have to check it out.
Excellent. I will definitely check that out. And of course, I always agree with Stewart's. My men's social group that we take all the time, we basically should be called the men's ice cream group, because we always go to Stewart's. That's like their go-to place. They always have great caramel ice cream.
Yes, yeah, they just have great flavors. And it's just like, whether you're in Tannersville, like coming off that side of the mountain, like right. I said, Minnewaska, you can hit it from Minnewaska. I mean, there's so many different places you can hit it on a hike. So, you know, Stewart's is always good. My Hell go-to. Yes.
Excellent. Oh, so thank you very much for the post-hike brews and bites, and once again thank you Vicky for joining me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Yes, and I'm
a bit about me and to share a little bit about the group, so I hope some new ladies that may not know about us will come and look us up and, you know, join
and have freaking great time, it sounds like.
Yes.
Am I allowed to join?
After the tutus and tiaras, we're going to the winery. We're going to Rivero Winery. Yeah. So
can I join? This sounds very fun.
You'll have to shave your beard, though.
Oh, yes. I can wear a tutu. I can rock a tutu. Trust me. So once again, thank you to the monthly supporters and the monthly sponsors. Really appreciate you guys believing and, in the show and listening to the show. Thank you to everybody who has donated. And once again, thank you to everyone who's listening. Thank you, Vicky, for supporting and being on the show with me tonight. I really appreciate it. I had a fantastic time listening about the great hiking goddess group that you have created and that you have put this confidence into ladies.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All right. So have a good night, Vicky.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. You can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Wicked, wicked, wicked.